So today I want to go and dive in. And again, this doesn't have to be a super long episode today, but I want to dive in and talk about how to work with a recruiter. I think so many times people don't know how to, deal with us or talk to us or what questions to ask. And so I have a few questions I want to go ahead and dive into that I've already been asked. But again, if you ask the questions, I will answer them. So again, this is around recruiters and the job search and anything around the job search, right? If you have a question that's not specifically related to the job search or recruiters and just a general job search, please ask me. And so let's go ahead and dive into a few questions. So the first question I have, it says, basically, why do recruiters not include salary up front? Right. So this is one question I get a lot. Hey, the DMs with recruiters, how come recruiters don't give me the full information in the initial DM? And to be honest with you, the reason why we do that is we try to get you on the phone because our metrics are held to unique conversations, right? Our metrics are not held to email sent. So what we do as recruiters is we try to keep as much information away from you. So then you have to get begrudgingly get on the phone with us and talk to us about that role. So that's why recruiters don't give you a lot of information. Another question that I got was, how do I operate and deal with recruiters at scale with the amount of DMs I get? And I think you should have a messaging template. I really, really do think so. I think when it comes to messaging and dealing with all the recruiters these days, you have to have a few questions, right? So one guy goes, is it contract to hire, direct hire? Is it full-time remote, part-time remote, or no remote? And then what's the salary range, right? I love that. And I think coming up with like a specific template and message is incredibly important because there's a lot of recruiters, right? And you also don't want to miss out on anything, right? You don't want to dismiss a recruiter just because you didn't ask a good question. And then let me pull up a few more. Again, if you are tuning in on TikTok or Facebook or LinkedIn or YouTube or Twitter, feel free to ask me a question about this. But I want to go ahead and pull up a few more questions that I've gotten recently. And then I'm going to read these off to y'all as other questions come in. So one of the things we talk about is, I make my resume applicable to the job. I only apply for roles that align with my skill set almost 99% of the time. Apart from auto-generated, thanks for your application, I get no other response. I think my resume looks great. My LinkedIn profile seems good too. And my limited presence on other platforms, Indeed, Dice, ZipRecruiter is consistent, relevant, and detailed. What could be the reasons I'm routinely ignored? And so this comes from Sean Francis. So Sean, thank you for asking me this question. So this question is incredibly important. Because I will tell you, this is why I would stay away from submitting your resume to applicants. Because what happens is it goes into a huge database. And unless you have the key terms, or depending on who the HR person is that day looking at your resume, they may not feel your resume is in line. Right? Again, this is why you don't submit your resume to job postings, or try not to. Right? I say this all very high level because my brother has had a great amount of success finding a job because of the job postings. But my brother also has known people at those companies, right? He's had a leg in. Another question, if a job description contains terminology which is technically incorrect, should you change your resume to match the incorrect job description to get a higher ATS hit rate or use the correct terminology at risk of the ATS ranking and probably miss a cut? Listen, this is a great question. To me, use the appropriate stuff, like use the appropriate terminology. I think with me, the big thing when it comes to ATSs. So ATSs, if you do not know what ATS is the applicant tracking system. Those are software tools that are put into place from HR to keep track of resumes, right? And a lot of them actually have like kind of initial filter. You can set filters up. I believe I've never worked with this. I may be talking out of my mouth. I have no idea, but you can set parameters, I believe, and they can filter out resumes at a super high level. To me, it could be a misspelling in the job description, right? So you don't want to change the technical term. Also, you're not going to look like you know what you're talking about. You're the professional. Even though HR wrote these job descriptions, you're the professional. You need to keep the terminology consistent within your resume. But again, my thing is so this is a good question to ask a recruiter if they message you. LinkedIn user, happy Friday. What's going on? I don't know why I can't see you. Jason and Hamburg, if that's you, hello. But that's why you need to ask a recruiter. A really good question to ask a recruiter if they message you, you know, we were talking about the templated messages before this just a few minutes ago, is this client a ATS / VMS client? So what that means is a vendor management system, right? It's kind of similar. Vendor management system, applicant tracking system. That is one thing that I think you need to ask. Is that question when a recruiter messages you. Another question I got in, again, thank you for all these questions. If an employer provides a recruiter with a job description which contains incorrect terminology, misleading, or ambiguous language, why do recruiters simply copy and paste without checking to make sure it actually makes sense for their intended audience? Because the reason why recruiters copy and paste, job descriptions is because they don't have a relationship with the hiring manager. Right. One of the questions I would ask the recruiter is, hey, do you have the intake call notes? Do you have the manager notes? Every time you work with me, I actually never send a job description. I always just send the manager notes. Right. So that's incredibly important. There's a question coming in from TikTok. Recruiter wants a 5-page resume while the standard is to keep it as short as possible. So for me, I think a 2-3-page resume is a sweet spot. I also think you need to write your resume specifically in a way where you only include the relevant skills. Now, I had this question the other day on, I think on Slack from a developer, and they're like, I actually only include the last 3 years of my experience, even though I've been coding for 10. That I would not do that. I would include all of your relevant coding experience if you're a developer. Again, I'm coming at this entire conversation. I always come at it from a development perspective. But what I would do is I would include the tech jargon, the technical stuff, as much as humanly possible for positions you want to get called with. So like, let's say you're a .NET developer. I would chalk your resume full with a bunch of .NET technologies, .NET Core, .NET MVC, Azure SQL, Angular, right? Like the tech stack you're in. But then the further back positions that were maybe cold fusion or PHP or things you don't want to work on, I don't mean to upset any Cold Fusion or PHP developers on this show, is that what I would do is I would keep those descriptions super high level, 30,000 foot view, very project-based, no technical jargon, if that makes sense. That's how I would do it. John, good morning. I had a recruiter tell me yesterday to pull contact info off my resume. ATS would reject it with an honor for a certain position. Yeah, listen, these ATSs are weird. They're all going to have different parameters, different rules. Vaco typically does not work with clients with ATSs. We have a few. So there's degrees with ATSs and VMSs as well. And again, I know I'm throwing all this like word vomit at y'all this morning. This is where the conversation is going. But there are even some clients as an ATS or VMS, again, vendor management system, where essentially you have to – there's different degrees. There's like really strict ones and there's not really strict ones. So listen, this is why I do this show, because there's so much that you need to learn. So what I would do is I would ask a recruiter, hey, recruiter, is this a VMS ATS client? That recruiter goes, yes. Ask them if they have direct contact with the hiring manager, because that's incredibly important as well. And if they go, no, we don't have direct access to the hiring manager, just know you're in for an uphill battle with that job opportunity. Amy, yes, yes, yes. I love it. Waller, what's going on? Hey, you just joined Kyle Welch's team at Eventbrite. You're with a good guy. I love Kyle dearly. Waller, I connected with you because y'all were commenting on each other's stuff. So Waller, it's good to see you, man. Thanks for tuning in, buddy. I appreciate you. Mukesh, what's going on? It's good to see you. TikTok again, if you have any questions, let me know. Let me see here. What other questions? Why do recruiters, seemingly reputable ones, ignore you when you contact their recruiters directly and ask for help? Recruiters who actually recruit you for your job. Or why do recruiters, seemingly reputable ones, ignore you when you contact their recruiters directly and ask for help? So you don't need to be messaging the company, right? So that's the thing. I know a lot of people, if you're trying to work with a specific recruiting firm, don't submit your resume to the recruiting firm. Find recruiters. Jordan, you're ridiculous, dude. find the recruiters who work at that company and DM those recruiters, right? Because, dude, I'm telling you, the amount of – listen, to put it in perspective, I launched my website 30 days ago. I've had 45 submissions of people that want to work with me. And listen, if you've submitted your information, you haven't heard from me, I'm sorry. I think I got to everybody. But that is the volume of which recruiters – like, I didn't think I'd get 45 people who want to work with me from my website. And that's something that's non-orthodox. The DMs I get on LinkedIn, there are people that I need to get to, right? That I need to get to right now. And they're like way down in my DMs because there's an influx. And so, again, if you want to work with a recruiter, go find that recruiter, message that recruiter directly, and get their attention. The few more, what's going on? I don't think I can pronounce that name. I'm gonna call you Lychee. Lychee, thanks for joining, buddy. I appreciate it, man. It's good to see you. All right, last question, and then I gotta run again. Any more quick questions, please let me know. I got one more. TikTok, if you have any questions, let me know. Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, let me know if you have any questions. Here's one. Lychee, got one. What's your take on cold emails sent to a company you want to work with? So my thoughts on this, I'm really big on it. Don't send cold emails to a company. Send DMs to a developer or somebody that works at that company. Ask them for 6 minutes of their time. The reason why I say 6 minutes is because nobody's got time to talk. If you message me and go, hey, Taylor, I want to talk, I don't have time. But if you message me and go, hey, I want 4 minutes of your time to talk about this one question, that's the way to do it. So Lychee, what I would tell you is I would message some people at a company you want to work for, DM that person and ask for 6 minutes, 4 minutes, 7 minutes of their time to ask one question about how that person got there, or one question that you want to ask. That is how I would approach sending cold emails to managers. Emmett, what's going on, Periscope? Happy Friday. It is Friday and it is happy. All right, y'all, that's it. Thank you again for the questions today. Today was a good one. Again, my whole point of this show is to keep it 15 minutes. If you need me, go to my website, fill out a form. Again, trying to keep all that consistent. So go to my website, taylordestin.com. So a lot of people ask me, like, Taylor, how can I get in touch with you? How can I follow your information in like one place? The one place I would recommend is this. Text me, 615-235-5650. Again, that's 615-235-5650. I send one job tip a day to your phone. I share all my secrets. If there is one thing, it's U.S. only. So if you're watching this internationally, I do apologize. 615-235-5650. If you want to be a part of my texting community, join that. It is the singular most way to stay in touch with me and learn all the things that I talk about here every morning. So join me on that text message community. I'd love to have you. Again, thank y'all for tuning in. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back Monday. Monday, I have a director of engineering from Smile Direct Club. He is joining me and we're talking about company culture. Very, very excited about that. See y'all Monday morning, 9:30 a.m. Central. Y'all have a good one.